Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Well, good evening, everyone, and as always, I want to thank you so much for taking the opportunity and also the time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, TV host and journalist, and I like to thank Michael Kay, all-around good person. Wouldn't you say so?
Well, I would say gift from God, angel, something like that.
I was sitting here with a big knot in my stomach thinking, because, guys, Michael and I don't have scripts where we kind of plan stuff out, so I'm thinking, I'm hoping you're going to go along with what I'm about to say. But, you know, Michael and I always do a different variety of shows. So for those of you that are new to At Home with Victoria, I'm actually a television journalist, television news anchor of 17 years I've been in the business, and I started At Home with Victoria, I want to say, about 3 or 4 years ago because I wanted to give people, you know, the opportunity to come on without any commercials and people fighting and yelling at each other, to talk about issues that affect their lives and also on how they can help others. So tonight, Michael, is a prime example about a show that I really know is going to touch a lot of people's lives. Now, you guys all know Tam Hush Lee from Hush Boutique in the Washington, D.C. area. Plus, she's a contributing fashion style, all-around good person, contributor to At Home with Victoria. Michael, I've known about this, I would say, for about a little over a year. In fact, I was at her house, and she kind of shared it with me privately, the battle that she is going through, also her husband, who's battling leukemia. So tonight, you know, it's kind of one of those things, Michael, where I'm excited that she's going to talk about it openly and publicly for the first time on our show. But it's one of those things, at the same time, this isn't a conversation that one is excited to have. You know what I mean?
No, I certainly do. But as important as the conversation is, I really applaud her and her husband's bravery for coming on and sharing it. Because from the patient side of view and also from the caregiver side of view, it's a battle for the entire family. So I'm looking very, very forward to hearing her story. And apparently she's actually dialing in right from the hospital tonight. Is that true, Vic?
Yes, yes. In fact, she is in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins right now. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and bring her into the conversation. So as we reporters say, Tam, you're literally live on the scene, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much, you guys, for having me and allowing me to share my story and potentially allowing me to save lives tonight. And that's what this is all about.
Now, let me ask you this, and I guess we'll just kind of get it started off where you can start to kind of tell the story. And the reason why I wanted to start it this way is because all too often, Tam and Mike, you guys know in our daily lives, you never, ever know what people are going through. Somebody may be having a bad day, and, you know, you may snip at them, so you just don't know what people are going through. So I would have never, in my wildest dreams, all the times, all the emceeing that, you know, that Tam and I were doing all of the events, and I was thinking about it today when I was looking back on it. So despite, you know, you being a mother to your wonderful daughter who's in college right now, you being a strong person within your family support, you know, to have to deal with this leukemia with your husband, you know, me not knowing that at the time and looking back on all the incredible things that you were doing traveling, but yet dealing with that privately, like that really started to blow my mind.
Yeah, and a lot of let me just start by saying this. Today, once I publicly announced this on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, Instagram, all the social networks, I've been getting my inbox is flooded right now with the number one sentence is, I wouldn't have ever known. That's what everybody is saying. And, you know, it's important that we learn in life that, you know, we're going to get a lot of curveballs, whether it's bad health reports, you know, whether it's a lot of things that are going to go on in life, and you have to have the will to continue to live, continue to work, continue to just keep your family going. And that's what it's really about. It's like, you know, get over the emotional part and let's get a solution and let's keep going. And that's what one of the things that I've learned to do over this last 3 years. And I mean, it's been a an enormous struggle. But, you know, here we are with 3 years later, and we're still fighting, and that's what we're going to do. We're gonna fight this to the end. And I look at my husband every day, and actually, you know, people tell me that I'm courageous. No, he's actually the courageous one, and I remind him of that every single day. I do.
Well, and you know, it is, I think, just like you said, the most remarks that you got with your inbox and through the social networking where people said that they had no idea. And, Michael, you know about this because your partner, Steve, has an illness that you have been dealing with. I think it does take a special person. Now, somebody will argue with Victoria, everybody becomes special when you're thrown into a situation. It's sort of the human spirit and, you know, God that sort of propels you to that next level. But, you know, in my career in talking to people and doing stories, you know, not everybody, honestly, you know, always has the strength that they can rise to the occasion. So it just amazes me with every single thing that you were doing. And a lot of it, too, was charity work that you were, you know, that you didn't let that stop you to, like you said, continue to live your life. Because I think it's so easy, you know, when you have a chronic illness to say, well, when I get better or when my husband gets better or, you know, whenever this happens, then we'll be able to start to live our lives. But in reality, you know, life is still, you're still living your life every single day, right?
Yeah, exactly, and that's what he tells me. A lot of times, you know, I get sad. There are some days where I'm sad, and you know, and I'm looking like, why me? You know, what's going on? I mean, my career is peaking. I'm like, you know, his career is doing the same thing. That's like, why us? We're young, you know, just recently married. I mean, we'll be married 5 years this summer, and you know, oftentimes you question it and you say, why me? So, you know, he looks at me, he tells me, he said, you know what, every day that I wake up, I thank God that I have another day to live on this earth, so let's be happy. Let's, you know, we have a choice to be happy. So there are some days where, you know, I'm extremely sad, but he looks at me and then, or I may text my pastor or, you know, my sister may call me or, you know, my support system, and they bring me back and they remind me that, you know what, this is not just our battle. It's everybody out there who's fighting cancer, who's fighting all the different types of cancer. So, you know, that's the important part about this is to find a cure and to be courageous and just, you know, the will to live. So
right.
I decided a couple of weeks ago when I reached out to you first because, you know, of course, you would only be the only one to get this story. But I decided, you know, a couple of weeks ago because we're now going through a bone marrow transplant, which I'll tell you that story in a few minutes. But mm-hmm. I decided, I said, why are we going through this and we're not sharing this story and sharing our testimony so that we can help other people? Because there's mm-hmm, tons mm-hmm. of people that are going through the same thing that don't have the will, don't have the necessary information. So this is one of the reasons why, you know, I'm opting to just, you know, put it all out on the table and just let everybody, you know, see right through my life and see what's going on. And even still, hush still goes on. It does. So
And you know, it's something I think Michael, you and I have talked about this before, and we talk about it sort of behind the scene a lot. I mean, that really what you just said, that was like the main reason why I really, really wanted to do the show was because I wanted people to have the opportunity. You know, not everybody is going to be able to pick up the phone and call a producer on a, you know, a national television show and say, hey, can I come on and talk about this? It was really important to me that, you know, if I could do anything in my life to give back was to give people a platform where they could really, you know, come on and help people and help give information. And, Michael, we talk about that all the time with the show.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it is great. Hey, Tam, darling. You know, I've got so many questions lined up in my head. Because you said your husband was diagnosed 3 years ago, correct?
Yeah. Okay. So this is how it all started. This is where the train wreck came. You know, in August of 2009, we actually went into the emergency room just for a cold. I mean, like I couldn't shake this fever for him. You know, he had a fever, had cold-like symptoms, and I was just like, okay, babe, let's just go, you know, to the emergency room and let's just get an antibiotic and go on back home. And, you know, his main focus was, okay, cool, let's go get this antibody because I got to be to work tomorrow morning. I mean, he's just as hardworking as I am. So, you know, he owns his own company as well. So the grind is always a must at our house. So we went into this emergency room. I'll never forget it, you know, thinking that, okay, we're just going to sign in and get this antibody and we're out the door. So we get in, and the nurse comes in, and she says, I'm not an oncologist, but I think that, you know, your husband has leukemia. So I'm looking at her like, she's tripping.
What?
Like, you know, I came in here for a cold. Like, did you just call the wrong person? Like, you know what? So immediately, you know, I'm looking at her, and I'm just delirious because I'm like, no, you can't be right. And so my husband's like, what did she just say? So, you know, immediately we're just dismissing, you know, what she's saying because I'm like, okay, that can't be us. So from that point on, the reports started coming in. The oncologist started coming in. And from that point on, we never saw our house again for 6 months straight. They took us immediately to Baltimore, and at that point they started coming in with all these, you know, do you have a medical advance? Do you have this? Do you have that? And I'm like, wait a minute, what just happened? Like yesterday I was at a fashion show, and now I'm
right.
in the emergency
yeah.
room, and they're telling me that my husband has a life-threatening disease. So it was a lot to grasp. It really was. And so, of course, the only thing that I could think of was to call my pastor, call my family, and luckily they were right by my side and, you know, just helping me digest the whole diagnosis. And from that point on, we immediately had to go into chemotherapy because there was no time to get a second opinion. He was already in stage four. So there was just...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and that was one of the other reasons why I wanted to talk about this, too, was because we didn't have any symptoms. Leukemia is one of those silent diseases in men where if you don't normally go to the doctor to get your counts checked, your white blood counts checked, you would never know that you had it. And so that's why it's very, very important that our males and females too, for that matter, even when it comes down mm-hmm. to the breast cancer and stuff, that you go to the doctor and you get checked, not just the, you know, the emergency room when you got a fever or cold. Just you have to go and be proactive and go and get these tests done. Because had we done that, then we probably could have caught this a little earlier and could have had some more options. But, again,
yeah.
here we are, you know, we're in stage four, and they're like, okay, well, the fever that you thought was a cold, it's now pneumonia because of the leukemia. And so
mm-hmm.
we immediately had to go into, okay, the first line was let me get rid of this leukemia, and then let me get rid of the pneumonia, I'm sorry, and then go straight
mm-hmm.
into chemotherapy. So for 6 months straight, my world was just turned around. It was like literally like a train wreck. It was devastating. It was devastating for both of us. And for the first 6 months, I was extremely emotional. I can tell you that, you know, I didn't have the will. I didn't have the faith. I didn't have all the spiritual backing that I do now, 3 years later. So back then, it was extremely hard for us. But, you know, we fought it, and we took chemotherapy for those 6 months. It drew us into remission, which they allowed us to come home. And I continued to work. He's continued to work. Then he just relapsed in January, which this is where we are now. And the only other option at this point was to have a bone marrow transplant. And so
mm-hmm.
luckily he did find a match, which our stepson was my stepson, his son was a match. So we actually just got finished doing the transplant, and here we are. So that's why I was at this point. I'm like,
so the transplant took
this.
Place. So the transplant took place like today. That's why you're at Hopkins right now.
No, the transplant actually took place like 3 weeks ago. I've been
okay.
in Hopkins for literally, and everybody who follows me on Twitter or, you know, I don't think I posted on Facebook, but I normally posted on Twitter, you know, I'll say day 25, like, you know, how I'm feeling. So today I'm literally at day 31. We had to actually relocate to Baltimore. So I'm actually living in Baltimore right now. And we're 31 days into this transplant procedure. The procedure actually takes 60 days to the actual transplant only takes one day, but you have to be here for
mm-hmm.
60 days for radiation, for chemotherapy. So we've been going through it daily. And I mean, you know what comes along with the territory. I'm pretty sure everybody knows with radiation and chemotherapy, all the side effects and the sicknesses that come
yeah.
with that. So mm-hmm. we've been dealing with it every single day. But, you know, we're half into it, and we got about another 30 days to go, and we're fighting. And I told him, I looked at him the other day, and I said, we got a lot of living to do. We got a lot of vacations to do. So mm-hmm. you got to get well so we can go home because I'm sick of Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Tam, let me ask you, just so I get a proper timeline and stuff, from the time of diagnosis to chemotherapy, what was that time lapse?
The original diagnosis, I would say about 2 weeks. It took the doctors about 2 weeks to actually get the pneumonia under control. And then after that was gone, it immediately we went into chemotherapy. Immediately. And we had that.
You mean immediately, though? Do you mean like that day, that hour? I mean,
Literally, like we never went home. We never, like my husband,
really?
From the time that we went into the emergency room that night for what we thought was a cold, we never saw our house again for 6 months.
Literally,
like that
wow.
was it. Literally, it was just life changing. So of course, you know, I got used to sleeping in the hospital chairs. I would go home like maybe once or twice. You know, when his mom would come and help me out. But literally, other than that, that was like our second house. So it was like our lives just changed at the blink of an eye. And, you know, and I tell people a lot of times that this is when when you say those marriage vows, till death do us part, sickness and health,
right.
This is what it means. It takes
yeah.
your partner. I mean, no, a lot of people don't ever even get to experience that part of the vows. When they say that. So, I mean, and
mm-hmm.
it's not him, it's us. We're battling, not just him. We are battling it together. So
mm-hmm.
every night that he's been in that hospital, I've been in this hospital chair right next to him. And people would never know because I have my laptop right beside me and I'm still running Hush's website from the hospital room. So it's been an amazing journey.
And when we started the first top of the show, when I was saying that it's incredible because she's still continues to go about her business, to be a mother, to be, you know, a friend, to be all these things that you were prior to your husband's diagnosis. I just find that it is amazing. So when she told me privately over a year ago, and I remember I was in your house and we'd finish a video, too, and you were laughing and you were like, news lady, you go, I have my laptop right next to me. And he's in the bed resting, and I still run every single thing. And the other thing that was funny when you were talking about how all the nurses are always ordering stuff from Hush Boutique, and I thought that was funny because they always got sort of the first dibs on stuff that was coming in prior to us because you spent so much time there, and you would kind of tell them, you know, what was on the website or what was new and what was that. But I just remember, guys, when she first opened up and told me about it, like all of you, I was shocked. But my shockness came from, you know, I don't live in a fantasy world where I think that people can't get sick and things can't happen. My shock came in was that, you know, you just never, ever know what people privately behind the scenes are dealing with. You know,
absolutely.
You just never, ever know. So I always just like to remind myself and other people that, you know, don't be so quick to judge people. Don't be so quick to, you know, sort of make snide remarks about stuff. Because, you know, Tam, you just never, ever know.
Yeah, like I remember the day that that I told you, like, Lily, you cried. And I said, no, don't cry. I said, don't cry. Like a lot of my clients, my clients that are closer to me, whenever I tell them and I share my story, immediately tears come to their eyes, and I'm like, no, don't cry. I'm like, because we've got to fight this. And I said, you know, the tears, I mean, they come and they go. You know, yes, I do have my moments where I'm extremely exhausted and I'm just, you know, I'm tired of sleeping in the hospital chairs. But overall, it's like, you can't think about that. You gotta get your faith on. You gotta say, you know what, you gotta believe in God. You gotta pray. And we pray every night together. Every night we're praying and we're hoping, and that's what we gotta do. That's it. And so
I do have a question. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think this will come in good in what you're talking about. There's a lot of people who are listening to your story and testimony tonight inside the chat room. Michael, I don't think we've had this many guests on At Home with Victoria since
wow.
God knows when. So
I
know they're not here for
I know they're not here for you and me. I wish I could say it, but we know they're here for Tam, and that's very cool, and we're all happy about that. But a lot of them want to know about the children, your daughter and your stepson. You know, how is it for them to go through something like this?
You know what? My daughter, she's probably seen it firsthand. She was extremely sad in the beginning because all she could think about was, you know, you hear on news, okay, well, if you got leukemia, you know, like any other cancer, you know, you think that the fight is over. There are not too many survivors. And so I had to just educate her and just show her. And so now she told me just recently, she's like, Ma, you know, she's like, you're so courageous because I see how you go to this hospital and you sleep in this chair and you never leave his side and you continue to do your business and you continue to take care of me. And I told her, I said, you know what, this is bigger than just this. I said, I'm teaching you how to be a wife too. And a lot of times, you know, I get text messages from my girlfriends, and they key in on something that I never even thought about during this whole mission. One of my girlfriends texted me not too long ago, and she said, hey, she said, I just want to say thanks. She said, thanks for teaching me how to be a good wife, how to stand beside your husband, your spouse, or whoever it is at times like this, because a lot of times we're so happy, vacations, and, you know, you go through life and nobody really has any obstacles, but you're teaching us how when it comes mm-hmm. down to this, you've got to drop everything, and this is what you've got to do. So I'm glad that I'm able to inspire and just, even if it's just to teach somebody how to be a better wife or, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm glad that I have the platform that I can inspire and just change somebody's life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I applaud you, your courageousness, and I know it's very, very hard. Let me ask you a question. When you first found out, definitely you were all wrapped up in hospital stuff like that, did you actually go on the internet and research the hell out of leukemia and bombard yourself with information? I know I did that upon diagnosis with Steve, but did you go ahead and do that?
Yeah, I can tell you it was awful. Like Google, oh my goodness. Google
the more you know, the more you're
trouble. Yeah, I mean, I literally for about the first 3 weeks, I Googled everything about, you know, even, and I can be honest with you guys and say, I was even Googling, like, how long is my husband going to live? What are the treatments? And I started reading things where people was putting numbers on his life, and I said, wait a minute, hold up. This is not the will of God. I was like, I cannot read this. I said, because I have to be careful with what goes in my ears during this time. I said, because this is really, really, not only is it a physical fight, it is a mental and it's a spiritual fight. Like, you've got it. Yeah. You can't give up. And so I said, I've got to start reading this stuff. And absolutely, I pay attention to what the doctors say, but I do realize that there is a bigger report that I report to and I listen to. So that's what I have to live by. And so I had to stop Googling. Yeah, I wanted to educate myself and learn about, you know, the blood cancer and learn about, you know, what it is and where it could possibly come from and the treatments. And, I mean, I educate, like, every – I have this huge, like – file that is bigger than Hush's file at this point, with every single medication, every single thing that they've ever given him for the last 3 years, I know about it. I know the side effects. So I've actually become a kind of little nurse myself now over the last 3 years. So, I mean, yeah, but you can't get caught up in all of those things that you read because some of the stuff is not true. And it's like you have to just say, you know what, I'm going to beat this and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
Vic, and you know that made
so
me.
I'm sorry, Vic. There's so many forms of leukemia too that it's so dependent upon the individual patient. You know, the restraints or different things. What is the exact kind of leukemia that your husband has?
He actually has CLL, which is chronic lymphatic leukemia. And you're right, there are definitely different types of leukemia because when I first thought about it, even when the doctors diagnosed him with that, they said, this is really, really weird that we have this black male and he's 37 and he has CLL. Like, we've never heard of it. So John Hopkins, there was a team of doctors from John Hopkins and there was a team of doctors from University of Maryland's Cancer Center, which is the two best cancer centers in the United States. They were putting their heads together and going to the board table like, where did this guy come from? Like, normally CLL is very common in in white babies or either mm-hmm. white males over 70. So he was like in this middle, like, well, we don't know what to do with them. So wow. it was just really, really rare. When I was researching Nelly's, the rapper Nelly, his sister lost her battle with leukemia. She had a different
yeah.
type of leukemia, but it was because she couldn't find a match. She needed a bone marrow transplant, and she couldn't find a match. And then here we are now that we have Robin Roberts from Good Morning America.
Which
she has MDS, which is basically kind of like a pre-leukemia. But luckily, you know, her sister is going to be her match, so she'll have her bone marrow transplant soon. But it is so important. It's so important to get this awareness out there for people to get tested and just to, you know, save a life. It's so easy to save a life. It really is.
And Tam, while we're on that subject, there's a very good question that Catherine Taddy asked inside the chat room. She wants to know, on your husband's side of the family, is he the first to have been diagnosed with leukemia, or did somebody else in his family have it that you guys know of?
No, nobody had it. Like, it was amazing. That was one of the first things that they asked, because, of course, they try to find out the root of it, like where it could possibly have come. Nobody in his family has ever had leukemia. So then they started going to, okay, well, what's your occupation? And he's a residential home builder. So they started thinking, well, maybe it's, you know, chemicals. Maybe it was something, mm-hmm. you know, while you were out building the houses. So, of course, nobody will ever know. You know, you got reports where you think it's the food. It's the things that, you know, the hormones, all the stuff, all the chemicals that they put in food. So I don't
right.
really know that there's a real true answer, but, you know, it's here and it's what we're dealing with, and we just got to, you know, go with this. So I stopped trying to rack my brain trying to figure out, well, where did it come from?
It is,
and just
yeah.
said, yeah, I mean, because cancer is just, it's an awful disease, and it's taking so many of our lives that it's just crazy.
You know, one thing that I wanted to mention, Michael, when you guys were talking about the whole Google and, you know, you going online and researching and finding out as much information as possible, many of you guys that know me personally know my sweetheart is a doctor, surgeon, and emergency care doctor. And one thing that he constantly complains about all the time at our dinner table is that it drives him nuts when people or patients or that are sick will come into his office and they already have a diagnosis because they've been on Google and they've Googled everything and they've researched everything. So they come and sit there and say, okay, this is what I have, you know, blah, 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 this and that. And so he said basically 10% of them are, you know, pretty much are on to something. He goes, but it's just crazy the amount of misinformation that's out there. So I know that was difficult. You know, you do want to research and find as much as you can. But I know one thing that he always says to me, that he tells his patients that have chronic diseases and that are, you know, battling different types of cancers too, his first advice is stay off the Internet. He's like, you know, if you've got a question, you know, if it's sort of, I guess, like WebMD or one of the, you know, reputable medical websites, and I think he even gives them a list of the ones that he thinks that they should go to. You know, Hopkins has their own site, you know, somebody like that. And he's like, you know, it's great to have support and be in chat rooms and all of that. He goes, but you really have to draw a fine line when it comes to that. He goes, because people, you know, can give you wrong information. He goes, and frankly, honey, they can just scare the crap out of you with information that they're given. He says, you know, and their information may not be accurate pertaining to what's going on with you or your loved one. So that really just brought up memories for me because he talks about that all the time.
Yeah, that's so very true. So I just kind of, the only time that I stay on Hopkins' website because, you know, it's a reputable website, and then I also use WebMD, but I only go there at this point in our situation just to, I may Google side effects of a particular chemotherapy that they're giving him, or if it's a new antibiotic or something that he has, and I may want to know, okay, well, what am I dealing with? You know, is it going to make him nauseated, or
right,
you know,
right.
what I mean, because we've been in and out of hospital rooms for the last 3 years, like on and off. So, you know, and I'm no stranger to what's going on. Like actually, right now, this is so crazy, but just right now, he was actually doing really good this week, and I was actually supposed to be home today doing a photo shoot and doing this interview from my house. And then, of course, you know, we had a turn last night. And, hey, you know, it's all – I'm still smiling, and I'm just like, okay, well, you know what? I'll do the interview from the hospital, and we'll postpone this photo shoot, and we'll do it another day. So I'm used to just juggling, you know, being a wife, being a mom, you know, being a caregiver. And I'm really careful to say the word caregiver. Like someone just the other day asked me on the elevator, like everybody knows me at the hospital at this point, but they asked me, they said, are you a caregiver? And I looked at them and I said, no, I'm a wife. I'm not a caregiver. Like, like it just sounds so, but I mean, this is what wives are supposed to do. And like, I, you know, and I got, one of the nurses kind of got on my, you know, kind of made me cringe the other day because she said, well, she said, are you Mr. Lee's wife? And I said, yes. And she said, well, you know, you should go home and, you know, we'll take care of him. And, you know, you should just go home and get some rest and just come back tomorrow. And I was looking at her like, do you think I'm about to leave him up here? Absolutely not. So my husband, he looks at me, he's like, babe, please don't leave me in here. He's like, they don't take care of me like you do. So, I mean, nothing's like those back rubs when you're having chills and fevers. And, you know, I mean, nobody wants to go through this alone. And so I'm never going to leave, you know, his side. He knows that 100%. He's thankful and I'm thankful. We're both grateful for each other. And, you know, the funny thing is that he just said to me, not too long ago, somebody asked him, did he know what kind of mate that he married before we went into this situation? And he said, well, I always knew that, you know, she was a good girl and that she was a good wife. He said, but it just redefined that I made a good choice when I chose her. He said, because she's never going to leave my side. So, it's made us closer, of course. You know, we've got a lot of living to do. And I tell you, when we pull out of this one, we got a lot of lives to change.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of changing lives, Michael, I'm sorry, let me just get this in because a lot of people have been asking. Speaking of changing lives, is there a website or an organization? There's a lot of people who want to know, you know, how they can become a bone marrow donor. So is there anything in particular out there that you support that you want us to kind of support too?
Yes, it's actually called BeTheMatch.org. That's who I actually got swabbed. And I'm a part of this organization. It's BeTheMatch.org. And pretty much you just go sign up and they'll send you a packet in the mail. You'll get swabbed. It's just DNA. Like, it's amazing how DNA can save somebody's life. And that's one of the not good things about blood cancers, but, you know, people, there are a lot of diseases, not just leukemia, but there are a lot of other different diseases that can be cured by bone marrow transplant. So, you know, we need to get out there and get swabbed and possibly be a hero for somebody else. Because one thing about I can say about the bone marrow transplants is that it's very different in that, you know, your kidney, when you're like a kidney transplant, you know, you actually lose a kidney. When you actually donate some of your bone marrow, you replenish that within the next day or so. So you're not actually losing anything. So I always say I can't wait until my phone rings that day and somebody says to me, you're a match, because I am going to be so ready. I don't care who it is. I don't care what part of the country it is. I'm going because it's amazing. And, I mean, I can't imagine that feeling just being able to save a life. Like, I really wish that I could have been my husband's donor. But, you know, I'm ready. Whoever I'm a match for, I'm ready.
Wow. I just want to go ahead and tap on the back end of that with you standing by your husband, which I totally admire. I mean, Steve's been ill for 9 years now. And I just want to go ahead and say, out of an absolute love situation, honey, when the nurse says, go home for the night, go home for the night. You got to remember that you are the source of that energy for that person. I admire your strength. I admire your energy and your dedication to your husband. Please understand that he is with the excellent care of those doctors and care team. But take the time now, I'm saying, only from hindsight, to go ahead and rest and recharge. That's just my experience and my advice. This may be a really quick turn. This may go on for a bit. You never know. But take the time now to realize. But I also want to go ahead and find out more about the bone marrow transplant. Has all of this family been tested for a match? And what exactly is the process of the marrow transplant?
Okay, well, like I said, just to be tested, it's actually just a swab in the mouth. And, yes, mostly everybody in the family was tested, and we actually had 5 matches in the family. So what happens is that after they find matches, then they actually take those donors and they say, okay, well, who is the best match? Who's the healthiest person? Who has this particular cell? Who has this particular protein? They're looking for different things that will help, that will basically go together with my husband's body to help him receive the new marrow without any complications. And so they ended up deciding on my stepson, Dante. So he actually went in and this was a couple of weeks ago, we actually went in at the same time. He actually came here to Hopkins and spent the night. But it's pretty much a process where you are under anesthesia, but what happens is that they actually aspirate the marrow out of your back. Mm-hmm. And you're asleep, so you don't feel the pain. But the nurses did tell me that it's kind of equivalent to a horse kicking you in your back. But, of course, you don't feel it until you wake up. Then they aspirate the marrow out. And then after that process is done, they go and take it in the lab and do whatever they have to do with it. And then they actually put it into my husband. So all of that happened in one day's time. So he was actually here, and, you know, it was an awesome experience, even though, you know, we didn't want to have to, you know, go through this, but it was still an awesome experience. And I'm pretty sure it was an awesome feeling for him to just be able to help his dad. So So that's pretty much the process. So normally the donor is out of the hospital the same day. Like, he was actually out of here the same day. He was actually sore for a couple of days, but then he was back to work and, you know, 1 or 2 days, you know, they give you some oxycodone and, you know, send you on your way. So it's not a huge, huge deal for the donor.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to stop for a quick second again, just to acknowledge there are, Michael and Tam, I know you guys can't see, but there are so many guests that have joined the conversation and listened to Tam's testimonial tonight inside the chat room. So I just, again, want to say thank you to all of the guests who are supporting you. I'm sure many of your family and friends and Hush Boutique folks and people that, you know, just want to, you know, may have heard something about it, but get to hear it directly from you and get to hear directly the entire story from you. And also Catherine Taddy and Mar, who's producing my co-op. Holloway is here, Sandy, and also Shannon, who's listening from Great Britain. Shannon, I know you guys are gearing up for the Olympics over there, so I hope you're able to send us some very cool pictures if you're going to attend any of the Olympic events taking place in your country. But I just wanted to just, again, thank all of the guests who took the time out to listen to the show tonight. And, again, if you are a first-time listener, I want to thank you. So we're talking with Fashion. I consider her a fashion editor. She's just a great person all around, and she, I can say, styles the hell out of women. I normally would just say in the D.C. area, but the girl is always on an airplane, a bus, or in a car going somewhere to Philly, New York, and now down south and all over the place to style women all over the U.S. She makes us feel very pretty about ourselves, no matter what size we are. And so I, on a side note, just want to thank you for that and all the work that you continue to do despite your husband. And speaking of your husband, so how is he feeling today sort of at this moment as we're live and having this conversation?
He's having, I don't want to not be truthful and say that he's having a great day today, but he's not doing so good today. But you know what? Okay. He knows that I'm doing this interview, and what he told me was before I left out of the room to do it, he said, "Babe," he said, "it's gonna be okay." He said, "Don't be nervous." He said, "Just save some lives," and he said, "Be honest about it, and you know, just talk from the heart." And so I said, "Babe, I got it. No worries, no worries." So, so his mom is here with us right now, which she has been an awesome support system. Too. So I'm really, really thankful for her. But she's actually in with them right now while I'm doing the interview. But I also wanted to say thanks too not just for the bone marrow donors, but even for the people who donate blood, who donate platelets. Like, these are the things that have been keeping him alive and going for the last 3 years. Like every other, we're used to getting blood transfusions 2-3 times a week. So, you know, I want to say thanks to those people, because, you know, you give life to people that you don't even know. So, I mean, a lot of people just, you know, you live your life every day and, you know, you go about your day and you're not even really thinking about, like, you know, situations like this. So a lot of times my whole entire thinking has changed. So my nieces, you know, they laugh at me now, because every time they know that they can't call me and complain about, auntie, I don't have, you know, an outfit, or I don't have this, I don't have that, because they already know what I'm going to say. They're going to say, you know what, you could be in our shoes. Or so, you know, I just tell people to think about, you know, think about when you're complaining about, you know, having a headache, or, you know, not having this for dinner, or, you know, all the small stuff. Like, don't sweat the small stuff, because you got people every day that are fighting for their lives. Like, every day I go in this hospital and I sit in these infusion centers, and, you know, people look at us like we're really weird. Like, why is she in here? Like, she's, you know, why is she dressed like that? Why is she so cute in the hospital? Like, you know, why does she have all those things? And I still do that. I still wear my lashes in the hospital. I still do all those things to keep going. But I sit and I watch these courageous people every single day getting shot with chemotherapy, you know, vomiting, just going through the motions, and it inspires me, because I said these people are so courageous, and they're fighting to live, and we got, you know, people who are complaining about small stuff. So if that's one thing that you can take away from this conversation, don't sweat the small stuff, because life could take a whole nother turn at the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and in fact, Mike Cullop just put that. He says love your message, quote, don't sweat the small stuff, and you are just absolutely right. But I was excited, you know, that you made the decision that you were going to come on and talk about it, because, like I said, everybody, I've known about over a year about it myself. And she's right, of course, when she first told me, you know, I'm supposed to be this hard, Michael, hitting journalist, and, you know, I've covered so many, you know, serious events and, you know, things that are real hard hitting news. And what's interesting about most journalists that I know, of course, if it's something that's directly affecting towards you, like if it's a family member or a friend or something, it's so difficult for us. We just can't handle it. So, you know, instead of me sitting there, Michael and everybody being supportive, like, she had to pat me on the back and tell me to stop crying, right? So I always think that's interesting, a perception that people may have of journalists, you know.
Well, a lot of people think Victoria is a big hard ass, but really, you know, she's a big mush ball made out of cupcake and then sugar. But plus I will have to say, Tam, I mean, I will reiterate, I would have had no idea besides the show that you were going through what you were going through. So I certainly do applaud how you're doing and how everybody's doing. But like I said, seriously, take that time for yourself, because it can be very wearing, trust me. But, you know,
yeah,
anyway,
we're
always referring to your husband as your husband. Let's give your husband a name.
A name. I think that's a good idea.
That would be good. That would be good, right? His name is Dante. Everybody knows him as Don. That would be awesome. Because, look, he's gonna listen to this interview. He's going to say, well, you guys couldn't have said my name.
I know.
Well, I had to bring it up.
I think it's because all three of us were just so wrapped up into the conversation. But I'm glad that we did actually give your husband a proper name. And also, and I know he's not listening now, but I'm sure, you know, later on when you guys have some time, whenever that will be, that he'll you guys will sit down and listen to it, and you know, just know that all of us here on At Home with Victoria are just completely 100% rooting, and I know you're always going to give us an update, and you know, we just completely draw so much strength from you. So, you know, it's one of those things where you were just like, no, don't be sad, you know, just go through it, and you got to fight it. I mean, you really, with anything, and Michael deals with that every day too, I mean, literally, you really, that is the approach that I think that you really, really have to take with anything like that. So I just applaud you, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on.
yes, you're so welcome.
And
but
also,
you know,
Pam,
this,
seriously,
okay.
if you mm-hmm. need any help, if you need any help, spiritually or otherwise, seriously, I deal with this crap every day, 24/7. So I'm there for you whenever you need. I'm so on your side. You have no idea.
That is so. That's so so awesome to know. But let me piggyback on what Victoria was talking about how, you know, you said that people you wouldn't have never known, and this, and people, you know, crying when they hear my story, and it's like, you know, I've done most of my crying. I've done most of my crying like the first year that we got into this. But then, you know, after, you know, I talked with my pastors, which is Doctors Mike and Dee Dee Freeman from Spirit of Faith. So they keep me going when I tell you they keep me going. Mm-hmm. And so after I talked with them and they got it stuck in my head that, you know, we're gonna beat this, and, you know, we're gonna fight this, and it's already done. He's healed, and, you know, I'm already there. I have to close my ears off to certain stuff. So a lot of times I won't tell a lot of people because I'm already in a place where I feel like we've already beat this, so I can't go
right.
back there a lot of times. I don't want to be out of my happy space and, you know, tell my story all the time, and then, you know, I have my clients that are crying and hugging me, and I'm like,
right,
oh, no,
right.
don't do that. I was fine before I told you. like, no, don't do that. So yeah, but, I mean, it's awesome because I know that I touch a lot of lives, and I know that, you know, I have a lot of special people in my lives, and I know that they just care about us, and, you know, and I know that the story can be kind of rather touching because there are a lot of times where, you know, like just last week, we were really having a rough week right after this transplant. And, I mean, we just couldn't get it together. It was fever after infection after infection. And I just, you know, I broke down, and a lot of times when I do, I don't do it in front of him because I've got to be strong for him. And so, you know, a lot of times when he sees me going there, or he'll see me teary-eyed, he'll look at me and he'll just say, no, we're not going to do that. Like, that's what we're not going to do. We're going to be fine. And so so a lot of times I may have to do it, you know, in the bathroom or, you know, just let it out every now and again. But at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is, and it's nothing that we can do about it but pray. That's it. We can do this treatment, we can do this transplant, we can pray, and we can fight, and we can get well, and we can transform lives. That's what we can do.
Well, and you know, too, something I think out of what struck me out the entire show and conversation was two things that you said: don't sweat the small stuff. And the second thing is that you said, talked about, you know, that you actually can help save lives. You you know, have a tremendous amount of resource with people that follow you on Twitter, that follow you on Facebook, through other social networking, with family, with friends, that, you know, so many prestigious women that are in the faith community, in the business community, in the D.C. and Baltimore, Philadelphia area, you know, people like myself within the news media that work for newspapers. I mean, you run the gamut. So it's very touching for me that, you know, that you did come to the realization about that, you, both of you, wanting to actually save a life and to come out with your story so that you can actually help somebody else. So for me, those are really the kind of two things that I kind of came up with for that. And plus, just to reiterate that, you know, that the reason why I did this show is exactly for somebody like you, exactly for that.
Mhm. Yep. And it's you know, I look at right now, like BeTheMatch.org, they have 18.5 million potential donors, and actually out of those millions of donors, 590,000 have actually saved lives, have actually gone through and donated marrow. So it's amazing, and I want to be one of those numbers. Like, I so want to be one of those numbers. So I'm just waiting for that call. But I can say that in the Latino and in the Black cultures, like, there are not a lot of us in the Merrill registry. So a lot of times, just like Nellie's sister didn't have that chance. She didn't have that opportunity to live because she couldn't find a match. And so it's so very important that, you know, that our culture, that we get out there and we, you know, swab and save a life. And that's really what it's all about right now.
Well, we've actually put that Be the Match. Our producer and Catherine Taddy and Gina have been putting it inside the chat room all over the place. So the website is out there, and I would encourage everybody when the show is over that you post that link to your Facebook wall, you know, in support of Tam and her husband and the show tonight. And especially that was one thing that I wanted to kind of end the show on when it comes to just the research that I've done, and I've covered stories of leukemia also within the African-American community and the Latino community, that what, Tam, you already said, that that number that you talked about, the amount of people that is in that registry, there is a very, very, very small number of African-Americans, minorities, and Latinos who are in that community. So we have got to do a better job. And it's not something that takes up a lot of your time. You know, Tam, explain the process, you know, so just be out there and just try to actually save a life. Because just like you've been saying for the entire show, I mean, you know, besides your husband, you see every single day when you're in Johns Hopkins that people are fighting for their lives. And one thing that I can certainly say about Johns Hopkins, because I go there quite often myself for a personal issue, is that, and Tam, you're going to agree with this, honey, when you end up at Johns Hopkins, you got some serious problems, because Johns Hopkins is sort of like one of those places that is certainly a renowned hospital. I mean, people come from all over, not only the U.S., but people come from all over the world to go to Johns Hopkins to get treatment. So that,
yes,
that place
do.
Is just, yeah, that is just an amazing place, and they're always just doing amazing work there themselves. So I just wanted to toot their own little horn for the amount of work that they do at Hopkins. Because, Tam, you know, when you go to Hopkins, you've got some serious issues. Something's going on.
Yeah, and it's amazing how they actually have different housing units for families and caregivers, and they have all these participating great hotels, you know, for us to stay in. So, I mean, you, like you said, it's a wait list for certain facilities to stay in. So it's a really, really sought-out hotel, I mean, a hospital, and it's the best. And I love the doctors. I love the nurses. They take such good care of us. You know, as soon as we get in the morning, there's like, Miss Lee, you know, what can I get you? Do you need a heated blanket? Do you need this? Do you need that? And, I mean, most of them kind of know pretty much just because we've been here so long, because I forgot to mention, forgive me, I forgot to mention during our first bout with when we first got diagnosed, we were actually at the University of Maryland with their cancer center, and the staff there, they're awesome. They took care of us for the first 2 years of the battle, but then they do not do half-match transplants over at University of Maryland. So they actually sent us over to Johns Hopkins, which is one of two of the only hospitals in the United States that will actually do half-match transplants. So this is why we ended up at Hopkins. But we both, between both of the hospitals, we love the doctors. They all know about us. You know, all the nurses do.
Right.
So everybody's used to me with my laptop, and, you know, so it's like, you know, a second family to us now, and it's a part of our lives. It's a part of, you know, it's just what we do now. So a lot of my clients, they know, they'll text me and they're like, hey, you at the hospital? I'm like, yeah, I'm home 1 day out of the week this week, or I'm home 2 days out of the week when my mom will come and, you know, stay up. So, I mean, it's been a struggle, but, hey, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Well, listen,
right.
Love, we love you, and we appreciate you and your entire family and support system. And I know we've Michael and I always talk too much. I know we said, oh, yeah, we'll be on for about 30 minutes. And, of course, you know, 30 minutes for At Home with Victoria turns into an hour, right? So
it's been an hour already?
Yes, I know. It's been an hour, right?
Wow,
so
this always happens.
I know. And especially when you're on, whether we're talking about more serious and sensitive issue like leukemia, or whether we're talking about clothes. But speaking of clothes, you know, I can't let you go, because I've got about 10 emails in my inbox. Everybody's saying they saw you post some new designs and fashions on Facebook today, and they are loving them. So anything that we need to know, like what's the fall stuff looking like? You know, I need a
update. Oh, my goodness. No, this is amazing, because I literally just got a text right before I went on air, and somebody said, how could you be going through leukemia? You just posted, like, earlier today, like, tons of clothes. And I'm like, baby, this is what you got to do. I was like, we already know this is temporary, what's going on right here in Hopkins right now. So in the midst of all of this, both of our businesses are still being ran properly into this mm-hmm. day. So, you know, even when I'm in the middle of me taking a temperature or in the middle of me rubbing my hubby's back,
that's right,
and I got
honey.
The laptop over there taking orders. So, I mean, it's all moving at the same time. So today, like today, earlier today, I was posting some of the new stuff that actually just came in today. So Team Hush and my new publicist, we all have been just working hard, and everybody's been helping me, you know, still keep the wheels rolling, still keep those internet orders getting shipped out. And it was a lot of great new things. Like, we got a lot of new House of Rocks bracelets on there. We got a lot of new maxi dresses. And, oh, it's a lot of good stuff on there. So,
but
yeah,
what
ladies
about
know.
Fall? I know you guys are, I know you ladies are going to kill me about we're into summer, and I'm always already asking about fall. Any cool stuff coming up for fall?
Now, you know what? Now, I don't have any news about fall yet. I don't.
Okay.
I don't, but I will say this, though. While the 31 days that I, now I keep on saying 31 days because I'm telling you, I'm counting down in here. The 31 days that I've been in here, I've been more in touch with my clients. Like, well, everybody knows I'm all over Twitter and Facebook because I'm just running Hush from this hospital room. So I've got nothing but time to be on social networks right now.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
but
listen,
that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Speaking of Twitter, I mean Facebook, so everybody can find you on Facebook, but how can we find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, you can follow me, Tamara Hushley. It's the same name as Facebook, Tamara Hushley. Now, one good thing about with people who follow me on Twitter, you get kind of like the inside story about what's going down in the hospital, you know, on a day-to-day basis, because every single morning I get up and I post. You know, I'm always tweeting about what day it is and how I'm feeling, how my hubby's feeling, what the doctors are doing, what the nurses are doing. So it's and I still talk about fashion too, but a lot of times I don't get to talk about that on Facebook. So it's inspiring. You know, it's uplifting and it's everything. So y'all gotta follow me. I'm telling you, it's a good story.
Well, honey, you're more than uplifting yourself. I mean, seriously. I mean, you've given me a B12 shot in the ass too. But you know, I do have to really just make mention that much love and energy and light your way. I don't know your faith, but keep it. And God, you're doing good. So much
yeah,
love.
Yeah, we love her.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank
Tam,
you guys so much.
I think you deserve, you know how fancy we've been getting at home with Victoria. So, Michael, I think she deserves a proper clap for this interview. So let's
give
go
it
ahead.
A clap.
Y'all are getting real. Yeah, y'all are getting real fancy over there at home with Victoria.
Only kisses and love, only for you. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
About it.
I know, we try to be fancy on At Home with Victoria. As much as I try to be, Michael, such a serious journalist of 17 years, I'm nothing but a goofball, so.
No, you know what, the whole thing is, it was a very heavy subject, and she provided levity with it, and care and love, and, you know, this is why I love At Home with Victoria. Like I said, it's a heavy subject. It's a lot of information to have. I just want to make mention, too, Vic, I don't know if you heard, but and I didn't want to bring this on with Tam there, but Nora Ephron last night
at
age 71 passed from complications of leukemia with pneumonia. For those who don't know Nora, she's the woman behind Sleepless in Seattle, Julie and Julia, You've Got Mail, and When Harry Met Sally. So, you know, 71's a pretty good run, and she fought it for years, so... Let's just hope that we get a better story from Tam and her husband.
Well, I'm not even going to hope. I already know it's going to happen because, you
Absolutely.
Know, for any of you guys that were listening, I mean, the girl is a fighter. And, Michael, you know, it's exactly like you said, and it was exactly like the first thing that came to my mind when I was at her house and we'd finished a photo shoot and I was kind of looking at clothes and, you know, kind of winding down the day. And somehow we got on the conversation or something. I think I was telling her about my battle with Lyme disease. So,
right.
You know, so the most amazing thing about her wasn't even something that, you know, that she brought up to me first. You know, it was me kind of mentioning something to her. So then, you know, she decided to tell me about that. And I just remember looking at her. And, of course, tears came down my face. But the first thing that came to my mind
was that I would never, ever guess or believe that she could possibly be going through anything like that because, you know, she was so and still is so busy with Hush Boutique, you know, just traveling and maintaining her life outside of her husband being sick, Dante being sick, that and she never ever, you know, mentioned anything. I mean, so this has been years that this was happening. So I just remember thinking, you know, I need to just shut up about my little tick bite and Lyme disease because my goodness, that to know that she has been dealing with something like that and the way that, you know, that she described it and about literally from the time that they went to the emergency room where she thought, you know, can you imagine thinking you're going to the emergency room to get some antibiotics for a cold? And from that night on, they never, ever saw her house again for 6 months. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no.
6 months.
And just if you are interested in going ahead and donating a bone marrow or giving a swab, you can go ahead to www.leukemia.org. And they can guide you through the process. And actually, type in your zip code, you can go ahead and actually donate it at a hospital near you. So, let's hope this takes. We've got another 30 days for Dante to go ahead and register his wellness. But, Vic, so I'm pretty happy there were so many people up in chat. I'm so sorry. Still my Comcast internet. Damn you, Comcast. But I want to pass on a hello to everybody. Who's in chat, Vic?
Oh, my goodness. Like I said, Michael, you would be so pleasantly happy and surprised at all the guests. So I mentioned this at the top of the show. While I would like to thank that all the guests, Michael came to listen to my beautiful newscaster voice and to listen to how wonderful you are. They didn't come for us. They came for Tam. So there are so many guests that that came in to the show tonight and inside the chat room to hear Tam's personal story. So when I say so many, I mean, I guess it looks like it's been about 50, 60, maybe throughout the night, 100 have kind of come on and listened and logged off back and on. And besides our regular guests that we have, Sandy, who's listening from Nebraska. Shannon was on earlier, a friend of ours from Great Britain, and also Marv Bennett, who's our executive producer, by the way. And Mike Cullip, who is an associate producer, I'll let you get more into that. Catherine Taddy is also inside the chat room. Gina has been in the chat room. She's a resident nurse from California. So our regular crew has been inside the chat room. So I just want to thank everybody because, you know, tonight was really, really an important topic and one that was really meant a lot to me because, you know, it's been years since she's been going through this. So for her to email me a couple of weeks ago and say, hey, Vic, I want to come on your show to talk about it. I was like, wow, because this is the first time publicly that she's ever spoken about this, ever.
Yeah. Very brave girl and helped a lot of people tonight. I truly, truly wish everybody. So, Vic, why don't you go ahead and play a song on the way out and your pick, Molly Hunt, I would suggest, one of hers, Halfway Down.
Hey,
she
listen,
was,
you know what? Before you go, because I can tell you're trying to go and I have to go too,
I want
to let everybody know the last show I ended up having a computer glitch that slapped me off the air.
Know.
So that's why I was in the beginning of the show and Michael had to finish it. But I heard it was a great show and I'm sorry that I ended up missing it. So I was just like the hell with it. I got in my car and went to Home Depot and bought some flowers and was miserable. But I heard it was a great show.
It was a great show. You can catch it in the archives, seriously. Michael Taylor Gray, Stephen Foster, and Hedda Hopper were lovely. And just it was hilarious, Vic. When you get a chance,
okay.
And the audience, check it out. But go ahead.
So what show, what song do you want me to play again?
Let's do one of Molly Hunt's. She was on a very fancy audition. I don't want to mention the company, but it begins with a D and ends with a Y. So it was a last-minute audition that she can go ahead and make the show, but she's a fantastic new vocalist that we featured on that D/NY network. So go ahead and play anything from Miss Molly Hunt. And
good
night, everybody.
Good. All right. Good night, MK.
My breath.
You have been listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.